This is a Sydney EO production.
Welcome to episode 34 of the Australian Health and Safety Business Podcast. I'm Brendan Tarazzi, the host of the show, and today I'm joined with Matt Ringrose, who is the founder and, I don't know, CEO? What would you say of Bondi Meditation Centre?
Probably just say teacher.
Teacher, all right. I'm joined with Matt Ringrose, who is the teacher of Bondi Meditation Centre. So, Matt, you've had an interesting story, and I was keen to get you on the show just to... it seems like everybody that I'm coming into contact these days, like 10 years ago when I was meditating, it was almost like a dirty word, and now it's like everybody's talking about it. What do you think's changed in the world?
I think it's a natural progression. It's a natural progression from stress levels rising and people looking for solutions. And then basically word of mouth from there. We see a lot of media coverage of it these days. You know, there's lots of things in magazines. There's even now things like meditating Barbie dolls and meditating teddies and all these kind of things.
Oh, really? I haven't seen those.
Yeah, there's like a footballer plays for Liverpool Football Club in England who does the meditation seated position for his celebration after he scores a goal. So it's very much coming into the mainstream.
Yep.
But really, why it works is it's a response to people not feeling very good. Because there's a situation, a global situation, which the World Health Organization refers to as ubiquitous anxiety.
Okay.
So we've got the coronavirus going on at the moment, but there's already a pandemic, and that pandemic is stress.
Right.
And it affects... I think it's fair to say almost everyone in the world, apart from maybe or less those people who've discovered a way, like meditation, of soothing themselves and finding a release and a way to release from that.
And so do you think that like these tangible things like the coronavirus, is that... I don't know how to put this in a way that so it doesn't sound, you know, too airy-fairy, but is it almost like the world expressing themselves? There seems to be a lot of fear around at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And like in Australia, we've just had the bushfires and now this is the latest thing. Is it almost like this undercurrent of the subconscious is becoming tangible?
You mean the fear of people coming out?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like you're saying that there's a pandemic with stress, which is... been an undercurrent.
I think
stress is hard to see, right? It's...
I think they're all just symptoms, whether it's stress of a human being or the way the planet is responding at the moment to the situation with bushfires and plagues. Basically, what we got? We got floods, plague, locusts, and fire.
Yeah.
It's biblical times.
Yeah.
So yeah, the way that the planet's responding and the way that a human responds is just all showing us that things need to change. So that's how everything works, right? Something you carry on just doing the same kind of things. This is the nature of people for a start. You just get something you like and you just carry on doing it over and over again, or get something that's comfortable. And all of this stuff is showing that change needs to happen.
Yeah, right. So when unwanted things come up, and I think a lot of people try and avoid unwanted situations, but it's kind of forcing us to reinvent.
Yeah, it's forcing us to look for a new way of doing things. And in the case of stress, you know, you feel uncomfortable for long enough and you start looking for ways to not feel uncomfortable, and you explore, maybe you go to your doctor, and maybe you try some pills, maybe you try exercise, eating a different diet, all these kind of things. And along in that mix comes meditation, and I come back to the thing I mentioned about word of mouth. The thing is with meditation, if you find a technique which works and works for you, and we may talk about technique I teach, but it's good because it's easy and everyone can do it, and it feels really good and it works, then it's amazing, because it seems rare that you find something that really, really does what it's supposed to. Hmm. And what it's supposed to do is really, really powerful and helpful. Yep. So people tell other people about it. And that's why we see it, aside from the media, that's why we really see it growing, I believe, is that people are having a good experience with it. They yep. find that, oh, this actually does help me feel better, and it doesn't have any bad side effects. And so they tell their friends, and that's certainly how, I'd say, more than 50% of people come to me via that.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth, yeah.
Yep. And I think people do realise these days that mental health is just... That's how I like to explain meditation to people. Like, even if you don't like the idea of meditating, do you like the idea of having a healthy mind? Just like, you know, it's very mainstream that we, you know, you exercise to keep your body fit. Well, that's the way I see meditation. It's like you're exercising your mind to make sure that your mind is in a good frame of mind, I guess, or good state of being.
Exactly. But I'll come back to the point you made about, like, people thinking they don't want to meditate. That'd probably be based on the fact that they've never done it or done one that feels nice. Because honestly, I've been doing it for over a decade and still my favorite thing most days, because it feels so nice. Yep. And unlike exercise, you don't have to be in the
mood. You can just sit on your ass.
You can sit on your ass, exactly. You close your eyes, like a nap, but better.
Yeah.
It's like a licensed nap. You don't have to come out of it feeling guilty.
Yeah.
And you don't come out of it feeling sluggish. You come out of it feeling fresh.
And so are you seeing that more workplaces are condoning the idea of having a 20-minute meditation or...?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, the different ways of doing it, but they're very open to it. You know, at the end of the day, it makes capitalist sense, apart from anything else. You could look at it from... It's a classic win-win, because the employees feel better, and so they turn up more for work. They're less sick, less stressed. They're less likely to bring a lawsuit against their company, and they can be much more efficient and collaborative with each other, because what it can do is break down those kind of, you know, at work you can get into quite a lot of silly kind of cliques and grudges and all that kind of stuff, but it's all pointless and it doesn't really help anything or even feel very good for the people who are doing it.
It improves cooperation.
It definitely improves just the atmosphere and cooperation, and you just feel a little bit less separate from everyone else. There's so many benefits for meditation for a business, and obviously all of this, realistically, for a business ends up improving their bottom line, which is why it makes it an easy decision to make for the owners to invest in.
And so I guess we're promoting this idea of having a healthy workforce. Have you done work in that area, like where you go into companies and teach them a technique?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Okay.
All the time, and increasingly so, and with very minimal advertising. It's a word of mouth thing, and it's just interesting. We keep thinking, oh, we should really push this or whatever, but you never need to, because, you know, business owners talk to each other. And it started off, I mean, I actually ran call centres. That was my...
Oh, right.
So I actually was a CEO.
Okay.
And owned and ran call centres. And...
Geez, I bet you would have seen your fair share of stressed participants turning up to that day in, day out.
Well, exactly, and not least myself.
Right.
And then I learnt, because I obviously had my targets and all that stuff, like everyone else. And so I learnt this technique, the Vedic meditation technique is the technique we're talking about. And I just found that, just as in my position, that other business owners wanted to partner with me more, that I found more people were coming to me. And you could say, why? That's a weird thing. You start meditating and then you're doing more business. How does that work? It's because in that sales or business development role, you just seem like you don't need anything. So you seem quite relaxed. And people like that because they think, oh, he doesn't need anything.
I want a bit of that.
Yeah. They kind of think, I want a bit of that. And they also think, well, he doesn't need anything from me, so he's not going to manipulate me. So they're making their own decision, and people like to do that. Whereas if you seem desperate, as you know, and if you've ever done sales, if you seem desperate, then the other person will close down thinking, well, this person wants this more than I do. They're making the decision here. Yeah. I don't feel comfortable with that. And yeah. We've all had that situation with the salesperson, right, who seems a bit too keen.
So back to your call center days and running the business, what led you to, like, what was the point where you said, okay, I've got to start meditating? Like, how, in other words, like, I think a lot of people, you know, they're probably open to the idea of meditating, but they just don't have the foggiest idea of where do you start?
Well, when I did it, that was a very good question. These days, I think it's a lot easier. You'd go to the App Store or whatever, and you'd get yourself a meditation app. I'd recommend one if anyone's listening to this and thinking, I wouldn't mind giving this a go. Everyone knows Headspace, and it's fine. There's one called One Giant Mind.
Oh, okay.
Which I think it's not as well known, but I think it works a bit better, and it's a bit easier.
Okay.
So when I was doing it, I just felt I had, like, ticked a few of the boxes, as in had some money, you know, reasonably successful, had the house and family and all that, and I just kind of felt bored or something was missing, best way to put it. And then I stumbled upon a book by David Lynch, the filmmaker, called Catching the Big Fish, and he talks about this technique. And
this is Vedic meditation.
This is Vedic, or under the other name, it's got two names. It's transcendental meditation.
Oh, okay.
So I read this book, and he's talking about, you know, you go and meet this guru, which just means a teacher, and they give you a word which is especially for you. You close your eyes and you think this sound inside, and you go to this nice quiet place inside, nice peaceful place. And every time you do it, you go and visit that place and get rejuvenated and come out, and everything in life gets better. And everyone can do it. And I was like, oh, because I tried meditating before and I couldn't do it. But this one sounded easy. So I found a teacher, and sure enough, it was. And here we are.
Wow. Mm. Wow. And so I guess it's as simple as that then, just making a commitment to start and then finding. I mean, what about if you don't live, you know, like a lot of our listeners, you know, that might be in regional areas or not in cities.
Yeah.
How do they go about it then?
Well, there's more and more meditation teachers. You can just Google meditation in your area and have a look, or meditation teacher. But I really do recommend starting with an app.
Okay.
Because it's accessible. You don't need to put it off. It doesn't cost anything. That One Giant Mind app I just told you about is free.
Okay.
And then you can get a taste for it and see what you like. See if you can notice anything changing in your life. Mm. And then if you're starting to think, whoa, this is actually significant, and maybe you're getting a sense that there's even more depth you could explore, and it could be if you had maybe a more powerful technique and maybe a teacher to guide you, then you might think, you know what, I'm actually going to take a trip to X, Y, or Z nearby from the nearest meditation teacher I can find and do a course, because I think it's worth it now. Mm. But to tell somebody, yeah, go and have a 4-day break in Sydney right now, and before they've even given it a go, maybe they want to try before they buy, and they can definitely do that.
It's too much of a jump, in other words.
It's a bit of a jump, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all very well me sitting here saying, this is really good, this helped me. And, I mean, frankly, probably most people listening to this podcast now, this is what's changed, know someone who's done it.
Yeah.
And says it's good.
Yeah.
Like, back when I learned, 12 years ago, my wife, she was trying to put me off it.
Really?
Yeah, she was like, because without probably a slight overshare, but I say a member of the family is a born-again Christian and quite evangelistic. And Sally, my wife at the time, was worried that I was going to become like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, I said, look, I think this is basically a relaxation technique which helps you feel better.
Hmm.
And then about 2 or 3 months later, she came up to me and said, you seem good. Do you think it's the meditation? I was like, yeah, I think it is. She goes, oh, I'm gonna do that then. I'm gonna do it now. And now, ever since then, she's meditated twice a day.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So walk us through. You start the meditation. You've got the call center. That's going well. Business is getting better because you've started meditating. Then what happened?
Then I introduced a few of my sales staff to it. And get them to go along, actually paid in some cases for the courses. And what I'm noticing is...
You paid for them to do the course?
Yeah, at least some of it. I'm trying to remember the details. But anyway, so they went and did the course, and we're noticing that the the upsurge in their sales is going, it's ridiculous. It's not just personal to me. This is something that helps everyone, at least in sales, in a very measurable way. And so when I got the chance to sell the business, it was doing so well, we had a good opportunity to sell it, and we actually sold it as part of quite a big deal. Then I thought, well, I'm going to learn to teach this. It also helped me a lot with problem drinking, because I'd been a bit of a binge drinker, and that was starting to affect my health and relationship and just not my, and my happiness, you know. But I couldn't seem to kick that cycle. And when I learned to meditate, I just, the desire just went away. Initially, at first, enough just to finally have the willpower. I still kind of fancied it, but I didn't do it because I finally had enough willpower not to. And then as time went on, it just fell away more and more. Now you'd have to hold me down, and I just can't be bothered with it.
So you're saying that if you have problems in your life, they sort of, meditation can help those problems become less of an issue.
Yeah, that's right. Whatever it is that's kind of holding you back from growing and evolving, it seems that meditation helps those desires for those things. They just start to diminish. Because before, what I was trying to do is just try and, through willpower, really.
Yeah.
I've got to not have the thing. But that's not it. What really is powerful is where you forget about the thing. And that's what happened in the end. I just forgot about drinking. It wasn't such a big deal. So that in particular, as well as the fact that it, probably that more than the fact that it increases sales, the drinking thing made me think, well, more people need to know about this because I know a lot of people really struggle with that stuff. So if I teach meditation, I can tell more people about the fact that it can help you with your addictions or whatever it might be.
And so what's involved with becoming a teacher?
To become a teacher, well, in this particular tradition, the Vedic tradition, it's quite a long, involved process. You have to have meditated for, I think it was 3 years then, I think it's 2 years now, and you do that twice a day, but that's no big deal. If you enjoy it, you're just going to do that.
Twice a day for 20 minutes. 20 minutes, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Sounds like a lot maybe to somebody who hadn't done it, but it's like anything. If you enjoy it, you find the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people find time to smoke 30 cigarettes a day.
Yeah.
You know, they enjoy it, so that's why they find the time.
Well, I know some of I started with Vipassana, and they were recommending an hour twice a day. So
yeah.
20 minutes is a walk in the park.
Yeah, it's really easy to fit in your day. You just do one when you get up in the morning, and then you start feeling good straight away. You can do it before or after exercise, and then do one later on at some point, maybe even at bed or whenever. What were we describing?
So we're talking about how you become a teacher and what was involved with that.
That's it. So you do that, say, a couple of years, and you do some study. So you do some study which involves some theory, some practical techniques, and that study takes 1 or 2 years.
Okay.
Depends how quickly you do it.
Yeah. So you've got, I'm thinking you've got the practice first, so 2 to 3 years of practice, then you get to a certain point where you then start understanding the theory behind
You can overlap the two.
Right.
You can overlap the two, so you don't need to have the 2 years at the start.
Got ya. Yeah. So you could be doing it all at the same time.
Yeah, these are just kind of like the prerequisites, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then you have 3 interviews, actually, and they are designed to actually kind of protect you, in a way, from the final stage, because it's very intense.
Yeah.
And it involves, or it can be. It just depends on the individual. It certainly was for me.
Yeah.
And you go away into isolation, effectively, and do various things. Have lots of tests. I've got a student there at the moment who is doing it, so it's reminding me of it all. You do lots of mind-bending tests, which is designed. They call it crashing the simulator.
Do you have to learn to levitate?
It's optional. By the end of it, you might be hovering out of there.
Yeah,
but so you've got all these mind-bending tests, which are literally designed to drive you a bit doolally.
Right.
And meanwhile, you're also doing lots of meditation, up to 14 hours a day of this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the whole point of all of it is designed to test you, push your adaptability to its limits, and release a lot of stress, and basically get you ready to help people.
Yeah.
So the idea is, hopefully, you've kind of got rid of a lot of your own stress, so you're now in a position to not be focused on that and more in helping other people.
Yeah, wow.
And that takes, what, 3 months or...?
Yes, sorry, that's a 3 month. That's a 3 month ordeal. I mean, experience.
I guess with the 14 hours a day, that would, you know, if you were going to uni, learning to become some kind of professional, that would be, I don't know, maybe a 2 year course.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a lot of hours. And so a day, when you, because you're not always doing 14 hours, you kind of move up to that and you're in there for the middle month,
right,
and then down, but you're always doing a
but
lot.
But it's 7 days a week, right?
Yeah, it's 7 days a week. You start at 4 hours a day meditation. You move up kind of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You get to 14, you stay at 14 for a month and you come down. So when you're at 14, the day goes like this. You wake up at 3 a.m. You get up, do whatever your morning routine things are, you've got to do special things, scrape your tongue, maybe right, apply some, like, some sesame oil all over your body,
right,
and all sorts of other strange kind of things, and then you do 8 hours straight of this meditation practice. It involves like a few different things, but it's basically a meditation practice, and then you have a break for lunch.
Yep.
You'll notice there wasn't a breakfast in there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You have a break for lunch, you have a bit of lunch, then you have lectures for like an hour or two. Then you go back, you do another 6 hours of that meditation stuff.
Yeah.
Then you have dinner, and then you have lectures from like 8 till 11 p.m. And then go to bed then and wake up at 3 and start all over again.
Yeah. I mean, look, that sounds like a lot, but I guess in the context that you've started with an app, you've been meditating for a couple of years, you understand the theory.
Yeah.
It's like anything, right? You're slowly...
Well, look,
slowly getting into it, and that's not the final destination for everyone anyway.
No, of course not. I mean, this is mastery for people who want to take it all the way. It's more of a curiosity or an interesting story for people.
Yeah.
What most people are going to do is just, they're going to try an app. That might be enough for them.
Yeah.
You know? Or they might get into doing a little bit of meditation. And what we really hope is that this is a relaxation technique which they find makes them healthier. Mm. And happier, and more, less needing to take, and more able to give to others.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you feel like that, as you know, that feels good.
I mean, that's a lot more satisfying than, you know, just taking.
Exactly, exactly. It's amazing. It's amazing that all humans, when you're feeling good, you kind of start
spread
wanting,
that
you
goodness.
Want to share
that,
it.
Yeah,
you want to
spread
share
the
it,
goodness.
Yeah. And that's when you start feeling really good, actually.
Mm.
Mm.
Oh, that's amazing. So. Now that you've become a meditation teacher, is that, I mean, I know forever's a long time, but are you playing a long game now? Like, is that, what's the future looking like for Matt?
Well, I don't know, because that's one of the things, you start not making plans because you just don't know where you're going to go. You become more, you know, moment to moment, and seeing what's relevant.
Mm.
But, you also have a knowing.
Yeah.
And my knowing is that I'm going to be doing something with this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be going back to call centres or real estate or anything like that. You kind of can't, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But what form that'll take, I don't know. At the moment, I teach quite a few people to meditate.
Yeah.
And then I've just got into doing my own podcast called Very Vedic.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bit of...
Nice little plug
slip
there.
It
yeah,
in,
yeah.
which is like about, you know, knowledge and ideas that help people feel better.
Yep.
And that was quite interesting. So it could go in that direction.
Yeah.
We've got the centre here in Bondi, which at the moment takes quite a lot of, you know, running and stuff.
Yep.
But like all things, it'll evolve.
Yeah.
And who knows what form it will take. But I imagine, I'm hoping it will continue to take the form of helping relieve people's suffering and help people feel better.
No, that sounds awesome. Now, I've got just a couple of very quick questions for you. How old are you?
I'm 47.
What do you like to do to keep fit, apart from meditation?
I like F45.
Okie doke. And how many hours sleep do you get a night?
Last night, shocking. Not many, but I used to be an 8 or 9 hour, absolutely have to. These days, it's probably close to 6 or 7.
Okay. And then what would you like to be remembered for?
That's a really good question. Let me just answer that properly. Think about it a sec. Yeah, helping a lot of people through love.
Okay, that's good. And then finally, if people want to connect with you, Matt, what's your website?
Okay, so got bondimeditation.com.au, and then there's Instagram, Bondi Meditation. Either of those.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.